Hey, welcome to New River Church's podcast. We're really glad you decided to join us today. We pray that this message blesses you and encourages you. If you're looking for some more information about New River Church, just look us up at newriverchurch.org. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Now, right away, let's just make a quick note of something. Do you notice how this declaration, and that's really what this is kind of broken down into three parts in a sense. It's not, there's different tones in there. Like verses 46 to 49, Mary is basically given a testimony. And if you think about it, she could have grabbed the microphone last week in our Thanksgiving celebration, and she could have said the words of verse 46 to 49, and she could have said, "You know, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has been mindful of me. He has done great things for me." And we would all be listening to her share her testimony, and we'd say, "Oh yeah, Mary. That's right, Mary. God is good." We're agreeing with her as she gives her testimony. But then she shifts tone a little bit in verse 50. And she kind of moves from testimony and she gets a little preachy. She says, you know, he extends, his mercy extends to those who fear him from one generation to the next generation. Do you know that? His mercy extends from one generation to the next generation. How long does God's mercy go? From where? One generation to the next generation. God's faithful. He's faithful from one generation to the next generation. It's kind of preachy. And you know what? If she had the microphone last Sunday in our Thanksgiving celebration and she got preachy with her testimony, we would have been like, "Yes, sister. You got it. You're right. God is faithful. Amen." We would agree with her 100%, wouldn't we? We would. "You're right, Mary. God is faithful. You preach it, girlfriend." Right? But then she goes from preachy to, I just call it revolutionary, to let's flip the world upside down on its head. And let's challenge the status quo, and let's just go toe-to-toe with the world and declare that God is doing something different right now. She goes from testimony to preachy to revolutionary. Look what she does. She says, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has filled the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty. He has scattered the proud in their inmost thought." He scattered them. He just scattered the proud in their inmost thoughts. You see what she's doing? Mary is declaring there's a new sheriff in town. And God is doing a new thing, And God is going to upend and turn this world upside down on its head. So rulers who think they're all that and more will end up being nothing, and God will take the humble nobody and raise them up to their place. And rich people who are fat and sassy and taking advantage of everybody, they'll be empty. And hungry people are going to be satisfied. And proud people who are cocky jerks, they're going to be scattered to be seen and heard from no more. And God will replace them with people who are humble, gentle, right? She's turning the world upside down on its head. This is a revolutionary statement. Now listen, you got to consider that by saying these words, Mary is putting her own life at risk. Because she's living under the reign of Caesar Augustus, a.k.a. Octavian. She's a Jewish peasant girl who's living under in a Roman-occupied territory, oppressed by the Roman Empire, led by Caesar Augustus and his megalomaniac puppet king, Herod the Great, who ruled over the area where Mary lived. He ruled over Palestine. He ruled over under Caesar, right? So you've got Caesar as the whole Roman Empire, and then King Herod oversaw Palestine, so kind of like a governor. But Herod, let's say he was no saint. Herod was a bloodthirsty, power-hungry, political maneuvering snake who thought nothing of killing people. He killed his own son in the family pool because his son threatened him. He thought that his son would be a threat to his power. Herod ordered the death. You know what? He actually ordered the death of 1,000 Jewish men on the day that he died because Herod wanted to make sure there would be mourning on the day he died. How's that for an angel? So you understand, this is the world where Mary's living. And this is the people of whom she's speaking. Rulers will be brought down and the humble raised up. She's living in a time when you've got an elite political class literally bilking the masses and living in luxury. She's living in an age where the taxation rate's upwards of 70%, historians think, where people are living in abject poverty. Mary, you know, we think of Mary as being like this nice, you know, white middle-class girl. No. Mary had a face leathered by the sun, hands calloused by manual labor. She lives hand to mouth. This is not a girl who gets 3 square meals a day. This is a person who might eat once a day if it's a good day. And she's working and she's laboring and she's sweating, and there's no chance of her getting out of that position in life. Human rights, those didn't exist in her day. See, she wasn't hoping she would go to college someday. Like, that's not in Mary's future, you know? And yet, she can stand there. Think about this now. She can stand there at Elizabeth's door and declare, God has done great things for me. What great things has God done for you, Mary? Your situation hasn't changed. In fact, it's gotten worse because now you're pregnant and you're not married, living at a time when ladies got stoned to death for that kind of thing. So God has blessed you, yes, by endangering you. Her life is now in danger. You tracking? And yet she stands there and she says, God has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. And she stands there talking about his faithfulness. She doesn't even know if she's going to eat that day. But God's faithful. His mercy extends generation to generation. She stands there saying, you know, he's going to bring down those rulers. He, not will, no, actually, look at the tense. He has brought down. Look at that. He has brought down rulers. See? He has filled the hungry. He has sent the rich away empty. He has done these things. And yet, if you read the newspaper that day, Caesar's still in power, and Herod is still killing people. So how has God brought down the rulers? See? It's almost like Mary is looking at life from a whole different perspective, isn't it? It's like Mary's seeing something different than the rest of us are seeing. I see Caesar, I see Herod, I see poverty. And she's like, see something totally different. You know, we love to pray the prayer, don't we? God, just give me your eyes. Let me see the world as you see the world, God. You know that prayer? We love that prayer. It's not a bad prayer. But then we forget what Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says. That God, the same God you want to see, you want his eyes, you want to see what he sees, that same God brings the dead back to life and calls things that are not as though they were. Wrap your mind around that. God calls things that are not as though they were. He has brought down rulers. He has sent the rich away empty. He has raised up the humble. He calls things that are not as though they were. See, I want those eyes. Well, that means I see what he sees. In other words, my hope is not attached to my circumstances. My hope is attached to this God, this rock, who sees things that are not as though they were. My hope is in that, in him. It's attached to, like, in another world, you know? In this world, the circumstances, they come and they go. But in that world, God's rule is secure, and there's no challenge to his throne. There's no challenge to his rule. He knows what he's doing. He's in charge, right? See, my hope is anchored in that, not in these circumstances. And that's what Mary's doing, I propose to you. This is not a song she's singing. It's a declaration of hope. It's a declaration of hope made by an unwed, pregnant teenager who sees what God sees and declares that because of the presence, because of what God is doing in her life right now, because of just the few little signs that she has seen, she knows God has brought down rulers. God has sent the proud away. God has filled the hungry. God has done great things. Even though the circumstances don't say that. This is a heavenly hope. See, earthly hope needs the circumstances to change in order to be maintained. Heavenly hope already has a rock secure. So I'm not counting on any of this to change, because that never changes. And that's where my soul is hitched. And perhaps that's like one of the benefits of the last 2 years, if you think about it. You know, the shaking that we've all experienced, kind of what that has done is it has revealed that our hope was in something earthly. We've kind of seen our earthly hopes for the fraud that they are in the last 2 years. And I have a choice. I can either become, like I said, pessimistic and cynical, Or I can say, God, I see that. Thank you. Thank you, God, for showing that my heart has been attached to things that it shouldn't be attached to. See? Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And now, Lord, instead, I'm going to take my heart and I'm going to lock it onto you, and that's where I rest. My God is my rock. All right. My God is my rock. All right. See? And that's not positive thinking. That's not hoping for the sun to come out tomorrow, although certainly that's a great thing. I'd love it. It's just simply saying that regardless of what these circumstances are, I can say confidently, it is well with my soul. So I want to close this morning by praying together. If we could close in a prayer, and worship team, you can come. But there's this psalm in the Bible, Psalm chapter 39. And I would encourage you to read the whole psalm. It's a great psalm. But in this psalm, verses 4 through 7, there's a prayer that David is praying. This is King David in the Bible. And I just find these words to be super powerful for where we are right now. And I was just thinking, if we could as a church, can we as a body, can we pray this prayer together? Can we make this our prayer? So what we'll do is this. We'll read it first so that we can get a sense for what it is. And then stop, position your heart, and we're going to pray it. Okay? So let's just read it first. And we can read it out loud together. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. You see what he's saying? Isn't that good? David wrote some good stuff. It ought to be in the Bible. Oh, it is. Look at that. So let's now position our hearts, okay, and let's pray this. Can we do this? Can we make this our prayer as we close this morning? So whatever you need to do that. I know it's hard to close your eyes and read it at the same time, but let's make this our prayer, okay? Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. My God is my rock. Other people might have other things for a rock that they think are secure. But Lord, I'm learning the more I walk with you that you're the only one who is secure. You're the only one who's not shaking. You're the only one who reads the headlines and does not get afraid. You did not wake up worried this morning, God. You didn't. You didn't have to check to make sure you were still the king. You knew it. You know it. You have been, you are, you always will be. My God is my rock. Holy Spirit, I invite you that this week, for each one of us, when we find ourselves in those moments where we roll our eyes or we get sour or we make some kind of snarky comment about the news or about whatever. I pray, Holy Spirit, in that moment that you would catch us. Catch me, Holy Spirit. Hold me accountable, Spirit of God. And then bring me back. Remind me, my God is my rock. Because, Lord, I want to be able to represent you. I can't do that, Lord, if I'm just as worried and upset as everybody else is. I want to represent you well, Jesus. So, my God is my rock. I stand on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing this closing song together, okay? And while we do, I want to open up the altar for us. You're invited to come and pray here. You know, maybe you might realize today, maybe you're one of those that your hope has waned and you've become pessimistic and cynical. I want to encourage you this morning to bring that to the altar. Pessimism and cynicism, they have no place in the heart of the child of God. That's just not who you are. It just isn't. But listen, there's no judgment because I'm like the president of that club, okay? I'm just saying that if you see that this morning in your heart, let's just bring that to the Lord and say, okay, God, I'm done with that. I lay that down. My God is my rock. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like more encouragement or information about New River Church, check us out at newriverchurch.org.